You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Is that freeze warning for tonight?
Yes, overnight.
So tonight, when you get home from work, go over to your neighbor's yard and make sure that you unhook their hoses.
Well, first you have to...
No, do not do that.
There we go.
First you have to wait till it's pitch dark outside.
It's and
then you
do
put
that.
A ski mask on.
And use the flashlight on your phone. Yeah.
And you have to put on an old Kmart robe.
Yeah, do not.
Let's Stafford.
Not
Stafford.
Not
of course.
Do...
Navy blue Stafford robes.
With nothing underneath.
Of course.
A ski mask.
Of course.
Commando.
Not do that. Now we're breaking multiple laws, not just trespassing.
Mom, there's a streaker in the backyard.
Now, I'm not bringing up the house to make you upset.
No, not at all.
Do you have the hoses still attached to the house?
The hoses are not attached to the house.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yes. I was there today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I would hate for those pipes to burst.
No,
I think Scott's
going to
do a drive-by.
I would not
just
want
in case.
An insurance claim
and,
at this
and
point.
And to Leawood tonight.
Just in case.
All right. Do you know what I found out last night? When I know your birthday is in the summer. Sam, remind me when I just don't
My
have it.
My birthday's actually technically in the spring.
Whatever.
Okay.
End of April.
You and I are April babies. Dan, what are you?
December.
Okay.
Early.
Did you know that, like the Enneagram chart, where there are 9 different personality types, I'm a number 7, shout out to all the 7s, that every month of the calendar year also has a color, and if you are born in that month, that is your color. I found this out last night.
Somebody was deep diving on the internet.
I was. If you were born in the month of October, you would think your color would be orange for fall or yellow. No.
Or brown.
The color for you is a gorgeous blue, and you pronounce it cerulean?
Mm-hmm. But where did you get this from?
Look it up. It's all over the internet.
How many beaded
not a reputable site.
Necklaces did you buy on this site?
I did not, because, Daniel, I was not born in the month of October. It's not that you're supposed to go out and buy something cerulean blue or cerulean or whatever you call it. There's something called color astrology. It's like astrology, but without stars, with colors.
See, this one says October is pink.
It could be pink, but the main color is cerulean. And what it means...
What?
Cerulean.
Yes. What it means in the color astrology universe is peace, tranquility,
I like that.
And calm. So that if you were born in October, not exclusively, but most of y'all have a peaceful, tranquil calmness about you.
Okay, what does it say about people like Dan who were born in December?
We're going to look this up because, of course, once I found out about cerulean, I'm like, well, what do you think Dana is? Because I'm April.
So is Sam.
By the way, color astrology actually breaks it down by day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I laughed out loud April is Aries, so you're not going to be surprised. But my color definitely is in the wheelhouse of all of those things. What's the craziest color you can think of?
The craziest?
Yeah. I mean, like, that would go with Aries. Or that would go with Dana for April.
Well, like, what color would I assign to you?
Yes.
Burnt sienna.
Very close, Dan. You're very close.
What's sienna?
Poppy red?
Very close,
it's
Sam.
It's like a reddish brown.
It's cayenne pepper.
Ooh.
Cayenne pepper.
Okay, I want to know where you got this.
It's called color astrology. Look it up. I'm looking at color astrology. What is... color astrology, April cayenne. I'm telling you, I looked this up.
What is your birthday?
13th. April 13th.
Cayenne.
You are Rococo Red,
mm-hmm.
A creative builder, persistent, and influential.
Yeah.
So, Rococo?
Cayenne for April represents strength, passion, and courage. Thank you.
Where's impulsivity? Crazy.
It's in there. If you dig deep, it's in there. Yeah.
I am North Sea. Which is apparently a color.
Huh?
Leader, idealistic, and visionary.
100%.
What about June 15th?
You are apricot nectar.
Really?
What?
Striking, pleasant, and appealing.
No!
All true.
No.
Dan, give me a day.
The 2nd of December.
Was that a random day or your birthday? You had to think about it for quite a while there.
I was born on,
Well, I didn't know if I wanted to reveal the actual day on the air, but go ahead. December 2nd.
Adriatic blue.
Oh, yeah.
Brand, okay. Sensitive, and daring.
Yes.
Look up your color astrology.
How come none of these are negative? I mean, because we all have negative qualities about us.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Because you can't sell books on the internet.
Your color is jerk brown.
You're a jerk.
Oh. None of these are negative. Not a single one.
Your day color? Charcoal.
I love it.
You're negative and a jerk.
Anyway, look it up. October, happy birthday to all of our Octobers. You are peaceful, tranquil, and calm.
What
and
is if today?
You're feeling the antithesis of that, then just remind yourself that you are
on it.
Peaceful,
people like you.
Tranquil and calm, and people like you.
October
like
an 15th song. Is lilac snow.
Ooh.
Sensitive. Oh. Artistic,
yes,
and sensual.
If the snow well, is lilac color, you got a problem.
Yeah, how can it be lilac and snow at the same time?
Did you say June 13th?
15th.
Oh. Because the 13th, you are charming and childlike. And I think maybe you were born on the 13th and St. Margaret's been lying to you.
According to this color astrology, that would be bright chartreuse, creative, loving, and capable.
There we go.
I don't even know what any of these colors are.
Chartreuse?
I don't know what chartreuse is.
It's like a green.
Yellow green.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like that color after you bring the baby home and it used to be black, but it's right after it turns yellow. That's your color.
That's more like a pea green. Pea soup green.
You'll find out soon enough, Sam. Mm-hmm. When you see the seeds, you know it's coming.
But all right.
Wow.
I love that smell. It always made my milk let down. It's like that mustardy.
It used to make your what?
Milk let down.
You heard what she said.
That smell right after you bring the baby home is mm-hmm. the most intoxicating smell. You should study my brain.
The air is just filled with hormones.
Yes. If you could bottle that smell, well, the world would go crazy if you bottled that smell because women would all be roaming around crying.
I was too obsessed with the smell of that black tar poop. Oh.
This took a really weird turn. I want to throw that one out there.
Anyone who's had a baby is like, oh, yeah, that's Scott's color. It's that greenish yellow. First time you see it, you're like, do I need to call 911? No, that's what it looks like.
Google Maps is a place of great discovery and the latest sighting, maybe one of the oddest yet, in East Antarctica, which is just southeast of the Japanese research outpost Showa Station. Eagle-eyed users have spotted a mysterious doorway.
Okay.
Which has become the topic of wild theories online, with some speculating that it's Bigfoot's vacation home or a marooned shuttlecraft from Star Trek.
Or a blown-off Boeing door, as one person has suggested.
Nice.
It actually looks like an airplane door mm-hmm. sticking up out of a snowbank.
Scientists have revealed that they believe the structure really is, and it is not nearly as exciting as any Reddit theses.
It's not a portal to another world?
No, they say it is a glacier. It is a broken off piece of a glacier.
Boring.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's totally cayenne.
Professor Beethan Davies from the University.
What was his name?
Beethan Davies.
He said Beethan. I'm like, Beethan. Well, that's an interesting name.
At the University of Newcastle.
He's a vegetarian.
Tells the New York Post that the mysterious doorway is in an area of fast sea ice just offshore from the coast that is littered with a series of islands where shallow water exists. Quoting here from Professor Davies, this is an iceberg that became grounded and is now stuck and melting.
Boring.
That is boring. I want it to be a doorway to another world or something. That would be cool.
Would you go through it?
No.
Concerning.
What is this, Stargate? No.
Well, can I come back through?
No.
Well, in Stargate, they didn't know if they could.
It looks like a chunk of ice in the snow.
I mean, if I found a portal to another world, why would you not jump through it?
Have a glass of wine, Dan. It looks like a Boeing door.
Just one?
Wait, hang on, Sam. So if you found a portal, kind of like Stargate 1994, that would send you to another world far, far away, but you had no guarantee that you would be able to come back.
Hell no!
He just said he would.
Why?
Why not? See what's on the other side.
Certain death?
How do you know? How do you know you're not standing on certain death and the other side is luxury and paradise?
Would you go alone?
Am I at the door alone?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Would you go alone?
I don't know. That's
Or if you didn't come back, would we just have to keep funneling food through this door for you for the rest of your life? How do we know when to stop sending it?
I won't even entertain the thought of going up in one of those drop like a rock death balloons. I ain't entering some portal in Antarctica that looks like a Boeing door.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Story here from Fox 4. Your dateline is Kansas City, Missouri. After a wave of break-ins and burglaries of businesses across the metro, Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas announcing that a new recovery and prevention program for small business owners impacted by property crime has officially opened. According to a news release, the Back to Business Fund, which passed during a city council meeting in September and was allocated $325,000 from another fund run by the city, will offer financial assistance to local businesses to help owners recover from damage, enhance security, and prevent future crimes.
By very definition, this is reactive. How is this going to prevent future crimes?
Well, I'm assuming through enhanced security. I have no idea, Dana.
You know, one of the stories that really has made an impact, I think, in the last week or so in Kansas City is that our beloved Betty Ray's ice cream shop got hit not once.
Twice.
But twice. Mm-hmm. And there was an article yesterday where one of the owners was saying, like, we don't know how much longer we can handle this.
What are you stealing from an ice cream shop?
Hoping for petty cash?
Don't most businesses take the cash home with them at night? Or lock it in a safe?
I don't know. I know that they got hit back to back, and business owners are sick and tired of it, Scott.
Examples of eligible expenses: temporary window or door board up, window or door repair, graffiti removal, damaged murals, sign repair, gate repair, light repair, security systems. Ineligible expenses: inventory replacement, wages or rent, lost sales, and any damage that's been submitted to an insurance company. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah, well, for sure.
But I think, you know, the wages and lost sales being ineligible is important because you can't open when you have busted out glass windows.
Somebody says they stole the safe from Betty Ray's, had $3,000 in it. Now, how do you open a safe?
Angle grinder and a lot of work.
Is the problem worse, or is it getting more attention because it has started to creep into Brookside, Waldo, River Market? It's a fair criticism. And you guys talked about this on Week in Review, Scott.
We did. It's probably a mixture of both, would be my guess, that the problem probably is getting worse, but it is getting more attention, and and you're right, it's a fair criticism that it's getting more attention because it's hitting the River Market, it's hitting Brookside, it's hitting these adorable neighborhoods that are, if I could be blunt, west of Troost.
Or Maine. Yeah.
And that, now all of a sudden, people are taking notice. And they're like, well, my gosh, Brookside, it's supposed to be this safe little cute, quaint community in Kansas City. And now, you know, we had, may God bless him, the owner of that bar,
Sean,
and restaurant.
Yeah.
Who was killed.
Sean Brady.
Sean Brady, thank you. And now all of a sudden people are saying, now wait a minute, now it's gotten out of control. Well, some people in this community would argue it's been out of control.
You have to keep in mind, it's only three stoplights away from the two areas that you were just discussing.
I understand. The plaza is not much farther.
True.
You know? But I mean, when did we start paying attention? I can still remember it to this day. I was driving home from St. Louis on a Monday morning, and that weekend they had the first major problem. And this was like 14 years ago. 13 years ago, they had the first major problem on the plaza with these, you know, hordes of young people coming in and causing a disturbance on the plaza. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, now, wait a minute. Now it's out of control because they're coming to the plaza. Dana, I don't know the answer to your question other than it's probably getting worse. And yes, they're moving into, they being the criminal element, moving into neighborhoods that people normally think of as safe. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. That is the same number for the text line, if that's your preference. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. The city of Kansas City, Missouri has established a grant to the tune of $325,000. It's called the Back to Business Fund, and it is going to be used for recovery and prevention programs for small business owners impacted by property crime. And it is officially open. They are taking applications. If your business has been robbed or vandalized or damaged, you can apply to the city.
And I love the idea of stepping up and helping out because this business has been victimized. But if I were that business owner, I would be asking, why not just work to stop it on the front end?
913-586-7798. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, I live Gregory and Walnut, and I'm a half a block from McLean's, which was a victim of robbery. Same scenario as Betty Ray's. The oak barrel was broken into about a month ago. The problem is, and I don't know if you've heard this, but we do not have boots on the ground. There are 300 police officers short in the KC Metro. 300.
Uh-huh.
Ask any officer. Until you have a jail and you put the people to put them in jail, it's not going to stop because the criminals know it.
That's a fair point, but the argument, though, to the on the other side, if you will, if I can play the devil's advocate for just a moment, is sure. For there to be a new jail, for there to be mm-hmm. more police officers on the street, that is going to cost money.
I'm 100% agree with it, and I would rather pay a sales tax for that than a baseball stadium.
Bob, that is a fair point. That is a fair point.
I would pay that. I would rather live in a safe neighborhood than worry about a baseball game.
Well, you might.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me ask you this. If you, just theoretically, if you let voters decide where they want their money to go and you put public safety up against sports, what do you think would win out?
Public safety.
Sam?
In the current day and age, public safety, 10 out of 10 times.
I hope you are right.
10 years ago, sports.
Now, I think, can I break that down
yes.
a little bit? If it was keep the Chiefs or public safety, it's keep the Chiefs. If it's keep the Chiefs and the Royals with whatever stadium configuration you can come up with, or public safety, it's public safety.
Why can't there be some sort of partnership between the sports teams who do so much to this town and for this town and all of those things, and I include the current and sporting and all of them, why couldn't there be some partnership where the Chiefs or the Royals say, all right, this is what we want, and in exchange for that, we will kick back a percentage to go into a fund specifically for public safety?
For the same reason that the teams would not say, we want to stay in Kansas City, and we'll pay for our own stadium.
But most people would say it is the most pressing issue in this town.
In the country.
And the teams recognize that.
Yeah, but the teams are in the business of making as much money. And I'm not, listen, I'm not bad-mouthing the Chiefs or the Royals, of which this company that we work for has partnerships with both. What I'm simply saying is that the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting, Current, whomever, you name the team, they're not in the business of giving away the money they make. Their owners and their boards are in the business, and their players for that matter, are in the business of making as much money as they possibly can. I mean, just think about the cost to go see a Chiefs game, and I know this is 40 years ago, but compared to what the cost was to go see a Chiefs game when you and I were teenagers in the late 1980s.
Sure.
You could all but walk into Arrowhead and they would hand you one, a ticket.
I also think that people are skeptic of those give back programs.
Well, because history has shown us that they are not always appropriately managed.
The lottery.
And so then maybe the teams would say, look, we would want some assurance that this is actually used. It, you know, you don't move the money around for salaries or for other projects that may need to be done, but not as pressing as crime prevention.
Well, I mean, I need not remind everybody that back in the 1990s, if you would approve the river boats, which were never really boats, all that money was going to go to schools.
Casinos with moats.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they were. I think there was one boat early on.
Samstown.
Was it Samstown that was actually a boat?
I believe so, yeah.
Went up and down the river on five-hour cruises?
Boat-ish, yeah.
But, I mean, then they realized that an island in and of itself qualifies as a boat.
Did you see, or did you say that it was $325,000?
Correct.
That would be seven new officers.
Which would be...
not enough.
A dent.
It's not enough.
A dent within a dent.
It's not enough.
And that's the thing. I mean, Kansas City's going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with itself. Sooner, I hope, rather than later, are we willing to cough up the amount of money it's going to take to put 250, 300 officers on the street? And where are we going to get that money? I mean,
here's the other deal. Where are we going to get the recruits? You even if they pass some sort of measure, and I don't even know how this would happen, but even if there was some legislation that could make this happen and we get this enormous pot of millions and millions of dollars, it doesn't mean the officers are sworn in tomorrow. You have to then go out and recruit, and it's hard enough to recruit right now.
Sure.
Well, by the way, it was the Argosy that went up and down the river.
Was it the Argosy? Okay. I do think that this has some bearing in all of this. Let's think about the way that society, and I'm using a very large umbrella term here, but society views people who are police officers. And not people like you and me, but there are people that think the police are corrupt, that, you know, they're out to, they're racist. And I'm not saying that's true at all. I don't believe that. But there are people
that do.
But
you're saying it would be a hard sell to reroute the assets because of that?
No, what I'm saying is, once you get the assets, how do you find 300 qualified people who want to be police officers in Kansas City, Missouri? Andy in Overland Park. Andy, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just going to talk real quick about, there's an individual who owns a small business. It's called Strips Chicken, and he is based out of Olathe, Kansas. And he had a store in Waldo, and he tried everything he could. I mean, he even went down to, we will not accept cash, cards only. I keep no cash on premise. And this poor guy just got drugged through the ringer. And he one day just said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm pulling out of Waldo. His business is still sitting there. It's just devastating. And this guy is a product of the foster care system, and he gives back to foster care kids. He's just an amazing individual. And if you get a chance, look him up on Facebook. He has talked all about his struggles in Waldo. It's just been terrifying.
Andy, thank you for the call. Makes me sad. I'm not shocked, but it does make me sad.
Brenda in Olathe. Brenda, good afternoon. Hi, welcome.
Hey, hi. Frequent listener, both in the morning and the...
Well, thank you for that.
And that Mayor Q in the morning, his talk that he has every Monday morning, has frequently pointed out that Kansas City doesn't have local control of the police department anymore, that it's this board of police commissioners at the state level, of which I believe Mayor Q is a member of that board. But, you know, really there's not a lot of control at the city level, and that it just throws another thing into the whole mix of this problem.
Well, no, he's right. There are five members of the Board of Police Commissioners. Four are appointed by the governor, and the mayor of Kansas City is an automatic member.
I gotcha. Yeah. So there's more to solving the problem than just here locally, I guess, is my point.
Now, I will say that is not new. We've been under state controls for...
Since the 1930s.
Yeah, nearly a century. And we didn't have this problem 20, 30 years ago where we were short 200, 300 officers.
Diane in South Kansas City, you get the last word. Hello.
Hello, guys. I was just going to say we've had a business in South Kansas City for 20 years, and we've been robbed more than you've got toes on both feet added together. And the reality is the police catch them, and they just can't keep them. They turn them loose. You know, they have to. They're required to. There's no punishment. There's no incentive ever to stop doing what you're doing. And we're pumping out more kids that don't have an answer and you know, some type of an expectation for their lives. And they just don't have anything else to do but steal. So, I think you got to keep them. You got to figure out a way to not let them back out.
Well, but the jail would obviously be the first solution there. Right. We don't have one. Which just in and of itself is shocking. But for somebody who commits a simple burglary, and I'm not trying to minimize the crime of burglary, but there's only, you have to give somebody a reasonable bond. So because they are technically innocent until they're proven guilty, you can't just put somebody in the jail and keep them in the jail.
Don't you think this is a relatively percentage-wise small number of bad actors?
Yes. Yes.
We had a story recently in Kansas City where there was somebody awaiting trial for a shooting who was arrested for a shooting.
Well, and Dana's made the argument, and I would agree with it. If we could get a handle on
all of the non-fatal shooters,
correct,
it would take care of the fatal shooters.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. A lot of movement in the NFL today.
What is going on?
Davante Adams, where did he go?
He is now a Jet.
From a Jet.
Frying pan to the fire.
Amari Cooper is now a Buffalo Bill.
That is correct.
And the Chiefs,
come back home, baby.
The Chiefs are in the market possibly for...
MVS.
Now, there has been zero, and I mean absolutely zero, suggestion that we are in talks with MVS.
Let me just quote here from our friends next door at 96.5 The Fan. Carrington Harrison just posted, MVS will be on the Chiefs roster by the end of business tomorrow. This is a Brett Veach special.
I would agree with that.
And Alex Gold basically tweeted the same thing.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Brett Veach is likely going to reach out, but I'm saying in terms of true confirmation, we have no word that the Chiefs are interested in MBS. However, we've had a lot of people who were good wide receivers make their way to the IR list, and we need some new people. And why not somebody who already knows the playbook?
Why would the Chiefs go? I mean, Davante Adams didn't want to come to Kansas City.
Cap space.
True. That's right. The Chiefs only have $4.5 million of cap space.
We couldn't afford him. But MBS is now walking his way to the free agency, a.k.a. unemployment line.
Who let him go, the Jets or the Bills?
The Bills.
The Bills, to make room for Cooper.
Correct.
I got it. You're a big fan.
Oh, I just think, you know, the Chiefs are doing very, very well. This only helps us. And by the way, probably a good time to mention that we are considered the underdog.
1 point.
What?
Point and a half, I think.
It was a point and a half,
yeah,
now?
Oh, bring it. Bring it.
In the Super Bowl rematch in San Francisco.
Bring it.
Why do you get so offended by that?
I just don't think we should be the underdog.
Okay.
We'll take those odds. Go to FanDuel.com/Dana.
Shameless plug.
Am I right?
A story here from NPR. For the first time, internal TikTok communications have been made public that show a company unconcerned with the harms that the app poses for American teenagers. This is despite its own research validating many child safety concerns. The confidential material was part of a more than two-year investigation into TikTok by 14 attorneys general that led to state officials suing the company on Tuesday. That is today. The lawsuit alleges that TikTok was designed with the express intention of addicting young people to the app. The states argue the multi-billion-dollar company deceive the public about the risk. I don't understand how somebody can become addicted to a website, but whatever.
You mean they built an algorithm with the direct intent to keep you hooked on returning, and were surprised that they knew that it was addictive?
Well, I think we're using the word addictive with a little bit of leniency, to say the least. I mean, aren't businesses in the business of getting you to come back? Oh my gosh, you put a winning team on the field, fans are going to keep coming back.
But this is more addictive in the sense of it is has a true impact on your dopamine level and the consistent rush of dopamine, similar to what nicotine does to your brain.
Well, doesn't anything that feels good or is enticing, doesn't that release dopamine?
It does.
Whether it's gambling or sex or certain types of food?
Yes. Sugar. Sugar is a big one.
So let's start suing casinos. I mean, there is a certain level of personal responsibility, whether you are the teenager or more explicitly their parent, where you just say, listen, you're spending way too much time. I mean, video games theoretically are addictive. Isn't the whole goal of when you create a video game to make something that, whether it's a teenager or a 30-year-old gamer.
Well, that's why they get more and more challenging. The better you get at them is to keep you hooked on trying to get better.
So let's start suing the makers of games.
Let's do it.
I mean, at some point, you just have to say enough is enough, man. You have a responsibility to maintain yourself. And if you're spending too much time on this game, I mean, how come alcoholics don't start suing Budweiser?
Now, keep in mind, they did implement a one-hour limit where after you've been on TikTok for an hour, it says, hey, you've been on TikTok for an hour, and then you click OK, and you
and then you're back on
keep
TikTok.
Scrolling on TikTok.
Yeah. On each of the separate lawsuits that state regulators filed today, dozens of internal communications, documents, and research were redacted, blacked out from public view since authorities entered into confidentiality agreements with TikTok. But in one of the lawsuits filed by Kentucky, the redactions were faulty. This was revealed when Kentucky Public Radio copied and pasted excerpts of the redacted material, bringing to light some 30 pages of documents that had been kept secret.
From the text line, no more dangerous than any other social media site.
True.
It's true.
I mean, when Facebook first came out, I remember I was going on, this was back in like 2008 or whatever, 2009. I remember spending way too much time on Facebook.
Now,
way too much.
To be fair, at the time, Facebook was not specifically designed to be addictive, whereas TikTok from its birth.
Oh, I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, Facebook was a dating app.
Well,
I still think
it went worldwide.
I still think the initial thought was, how can we monetize this and make it addictive to the point that globally it turns into what we have seen?
Well, because when Facebook first went global, it was no longer a dating website.
No,
that was for Zuckerberg and his goofy friends at whatever school they went to.
So they could rate
on campus.
Lord. Yeah. Hey, when we get back, there is an update in the Menendez case.
Oh, my word.
Family members are gathering. There will be a news conference this week. We'll tell you when, and you better believe we're taking that sucker live when it happens.
Oh, please let it be between 2 and 6.
Oh,
please,
baby.
Lord Jesus. Don't forget to get signed up for the Dana Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is this Saturday at Serve. All the proceeds go to the KC Pet Project. We have a limited number of slots for teams, so make sure you register your team immediately by going to kmbz.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.